Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my
heavens! The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Friday, January 4th, 2019. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dean Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined for the first time in 2019 by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scotty Angle. Scotty, happy new year to you. It's good to be back.
Happy new year, my brother. Good to have you back. Good to hear your voice for the first time in 2019.
Absolutely, absolutely. So listen, Scotty, you got to catch me up, you know, because I've been on a world tour, you know, using some of my playoff winnings, trying to have some fun, spread holiday cheer, 2019 cheer. But we have four big time games coming up this weekend as wild card round gets in gear. You got to catch me up. We were talking about this before the show started. I mean, it looks like everyone is pretty much healthy and good to go, which is what you like to see, right?
Yeah, there's no major outstanding injuries. Like Melvin Gordon's a little bit banged up for that Baltimore Chargers game over with Seahawks Cowboys. Looks like Shaq Griffin's ankle is going to be okay. So yeah, that I think that would be a major issue if he was to their starting quarter was to sit out with an ankle injury. You know, nothing major there with the Texans and the Colts or the Eagles and the Bears that really could affect any outlooks.
Okay, T.Y. Hilton is good to go. I saw that he was missing a little bit of practice with that nagging, I think, ankle injury, because that would be a big blow for a Colts team that has been riding high, one of the hottest teams in the NFL. But it looks like everyone is pretty much, no one's 100%, right? Because football is such a violent game, and at this time of year, everybody is, you know, a little bit banged up. But it looks like all the key players will be going this weekend, right, Scotty?
Yeah, you know, with T.Y. Hilton, he's been dealing with this for weeks. And, head coach came out and said if they didn't have to play for anything the last few weeks, they would have rested him. But, you know, these are the type of games where players, if they have injuries, they push through it unless they're Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I guess that is the truth. And listen, Scotty, that was another thing that I caught up on and saw over the last week, the drama in Pittsburgh. It should be interesting. Did he request the trade? Did he not? Should he be in a hippopotamus costume of all sorts of other things? You know, that's new show right. That he's on as well, which I think is an interesting thing. You know, I think it's just fine, but we have other topics. We could talk about that. We could talk about the coaching carousel. We could talk about so many other things. But we are going to stay focused on the four playoff games this weekend. Here's what we're going to do. First, we are going to attack it, you know, from a playoff fantasy standpoint. You may be playing DFS. You may be in these formats where you have to pick, like, one player from all the playoff teams. I know there's a couple of big-time formats like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to first go position by position. position and give you how we kind of rank these guys for the playoffs. And then in the second part of our show, a little bit further in our last segment, we are going to make our picks on all of the games, so you have all the insight you need to continue to win a little bit of extra cash as we head on into the postseason. Scotty, let's start at the quarterback position. You know the 12 quarterbacks that are left, okay? Now, some of these guys are not going to get going until next week, right? The Patty Mahomes, the Drew Breeses, the Jared Goffs, and the Tom Bradys of the world. But first, let me ask you this. When you're in some of those playoff formats where you have to pick players from all the playoff teams, you know, the hard part, Scott, is some of those teams play more games than others, you know, and also you got those teams like the Saints, like the Rams, like the Chiefs. You want to get pieces of those teams, but they don't play until next week. From a big picture standpoint, Scotty, if you're in one of these formats, do you lean towards the guys who are playing this weekend, or you want some of those big boys that aren't playing this weekend but are on some of the best teams in the league starting next week?
I think you have to evaluate it just overall and the teams you feel are going to play a minimum of two games and a maximum of three. And, you know, those are the guys that you ideally want. I have a guide on how and where to play on Roto Experts Playoff Fantasy Football right now. You know, there are some games where you have multipliers. So if you play the NFFC's playoff hold'em, if James White, you pick him in the second round, he doesn't play in the first round, it multiplies. You get twice the points for what he does in the second round. It's the same thing in the NFL.com playoff challenge.
Absolutely. As you move on, the points get more. I think in the NFFC also, it has that weird wrinkle where tight ends are 1.5 points per reception. So getting them and getting that kind of multiplier as they advance may make a guy like Travis Kelce, for example, be, really important if you can get the Chiefs playing multiple games or even into the multiplier in the Super Bowl, opposed to even, say, a Zach Ertz, who is huge, but you think maybe, at least the point spread would say, maybe one and done this week, right, Scotty?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. I'm glad that was a good synopsis. Well, let's look at the quarterback position. That being said, right, you know, two of the top MVP candidates are near the top of your rankings, Patty Mahomes and Drew Brees. But the interesting one to me is your number two ranked quarterback, Scotty, Andrew Luck. Now, here's the thing. He has been so hot, you know, towards the end of the season. Remember, he had that stretch of, seven or eight games with, three plus touchdowns in a row. The question is, will the Colts play multiple games this week? You know, they have the Houston Texans in the early game tomorrow, right? And this is one of the closest points. This is the tightest point spread of the week. With someone like Andrew Luck, right? I love him. I have him in one of my lineups, to be quite honest, as my quarterback. But I'm hopeful that they're going to win multiple games. Can you really pick a guy like Andrew Luck if you think the Texans are going to win tomorrow?
That's how you have to set yourself apart. You know, especially if you're playing in the NFFC, the FFPC on scout.com, you have to say, okay, you know, what teams can really go from the wild card round to the conference championship games? And you got to be willing to take a crack. And I think the Colts have the best shot to do that. You know, I think, with their improved offensive line and their underrated defense, you know, they're a very complete team that could really take out the Texans in a close game here. A lot of times it comes down to the quarterback. And if I'm going to go Andrew Luck versus Deshaun Watson, I'm going to slightly lean towards Andrew Luck. So I think, you know, the track I see for them in the playoffs is maybe taking out Houston, and you know that's a complete team that could go into Kansas City and then pull an upset and get to the AFC Championship game. So that's why I have Andrew Luck ranked where I do on RotoExperts.com. By the way, in the NFFC, I'm not seeing anything in their postseason hold'em game where there's extra scoring for tight ends.
Then I'm talking about a different one. You talking about NFPC or NFFC?
NFFC.
Okay, there is one. I got to double check over the break. There's definitely one where it's 1.5 PPR for tight end, and the multiplier doesn't hit until the Super Bowl, actually. I will pull that one up a little bit later on and make sure we double check. But it depends on your format. And we talk about this going into the playoffs. We talked about this at the end of the season long as well. You have to know your settings because where those multipliers come are definitely very important. Let me ask you this. You talk about Scotty, another quarterback, right? You talk about quarterbacks who could play multiple games or can go far from wild card weekend. I am very intrigued by the early game on Sunday. You talk about Andrew Luck and how they could pull an upset. You know, this game on Sunday between Baltimore and the Chargers, you know I've been on the Chargers all season long thinking they have a shot to go pretty far. And Baltimore seems to be, honestly, like just a really bad matchup for anybody they would play in the AFC. I know you like Andrew Luck moving on and maybe getting multiple games. What about Phillip Rivers and Lamar Jackson out of that game on Sunday?
I'm leaning towards Jackson. Now, look, these teams face each other in Week 15. And right. Phillip Rivers had no touchdowns, two interceptions, and I believe 186 yards, but they're facing each other again. So they'll watch film and they'll try to correct things here. But still, you know, Baltimore playing at home, you know, slow it down sort of offense and a very good defense. You know, they're going to be a tough out for the Chargers on the road. This is a tough assignment for the Chargers to go all the way east in their first playoff game. Phillip Rivers does have the edge in playoff experience over Lamar Jackson. You know, that's the one thing where I think that does give the Chargers an advantage. But, you know, after losing, like, one of their top linebackers, you know, late in the season, it's tough. It's going to be tough for them to defend this running game. As Davis Maddock talks about on Roto Experts, Gus Edwards, you know, is just he pointed out some next-gen stats where it just shows mm-hmm. that Gus Edwards is one of the best in the league at just hitting the hole quickly. You know, they have a great trio right now with Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards, and Kenneth Dixon, where it looks like college football, but it's working.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I guess my question is, like, you know, you see Andrew Luck. If you like Luck and the Colts over the Texans and then could pull the upset in Kansas City, would you think it's the same kind of solid contrarian play, Scott, to go with Phillip Rivers or Lamar Jackson, whoever you think is going to win that game, and then think they could be live to do the same thing and pull an upset in New England, especially maybe the floor of Lamar Jackson with that rushing?
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to do with – is going to help you make a difference in some of these playoff postseason formats, especially if you're playing in like an NFFC hold'em and you're going against guys like Andy Saxton and Vlad Sedler. You know, it's not going to be easy to win.
Yep, absolutely. I was talking, Scotty, about the FFPC playoff challenge, which has allowed 4,000 entries right there in Vegas. And that is the one where there is the multiplier for the Super Bowl and 1.5 for the tight end. When we come back, though, here's what we're going to do, Scott. We're going to look to the running back, the wide receiver, the tight end positions, who you need to play, and then we'll make our picks towards the end of the show. We're off and running. It's Roto Experts in the morning. Dane and Scott riding back in the saddle. Come on back after this.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at IFL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. Spitting statistician and the king holding it down as we talk wild card weekend here in the NFL. You know, some teams worried about their tee time. Some teams worried about their draft pick. Some teams worried about interviewing the new offensive coordinator. And other teams are still in the tournament playing for a chance to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And we're going to focus on those teams. I also got to let you know, Scotty, if you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Or get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually any time during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get 100% bonus deposit match. Go on over to BetDSI, use the promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match. All right, Scotty, we're getting into the playoffs here. We talked a little bit about the quarterbacks. I think the key with the quarterbacks, as we discussed, is if you can find the team that you think is going to win this week and has a chance of pulling, you know, the upset next week to get you multiple action from that quarterback position. We talk about Andrew Luck as someone who could do that. And if you have a strong feeling on that Chargers-Ravens game, you may have a live dog the following week against New England as well. But we turn our attention now to the running back.
Don't forget the NFC either. You know, there.
Oh, yeah.
There are some people that, you know, I'm not saying I'm one of them because I'm going to get accused of bias, that feel that the Seahawks should make a deep playoff run, and Russell Wilson's a good pick.
Yep, I think that's interesting, too. I agree with the Russell Wilson one. He may be the only one in the NFC, though. I got to tell you the truth, okay, that fits this sort of vein. Because I don't know if I believe in Dak Prescott, whether I think the Seahawks or Cowboys are going to win that game. And I'll tell you who I do think will win that game in our final segment. And then the other one, you know, I don't know that I would trust the kind of first-year playoff quarterback of Mitchell Trubisky. Similar kind of, and it sounds like you may agree. You said you lean Andrew Luck over Deshaun Watson. I'm a little bit hesitant to seeing quarterbacks or coaches their first time in the playoffs when the lights are bright, Scotty. Do you buy that narrative at all?
I really think Roethlisberger was his first or second year that he went to the Super Bowl.
That was his first year, but at the same time, Scotty, that was like 15 years ago. You know what I mean? So it doesn't happen that frequently.
I'm saying, you know, it could happen. You know, there's other quarterbacks, like I believe Michael Vick won his first playoff game. Russell Wilson won his first playoff game. So, you know, you're talking about Nick Foles versus Mitch Trubisky, and I think the Bears are just a better team.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm talking more about when the rubber hits the road and getting all the way to the big game down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not impossible to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Patrick Mahomes with a number one seed, first playoff experience.
Right.
You don't know how he's going to handle it, but, you know, there's a possibility that he could be in the Super Bowl in his first year starting.
Yep, it certainly is possible, and that's what the next month is going to present for us. Let's look a little bit, Scotty, at these running backs. So here's the thing. I got to start. I think it starts and ends with Todd Gurley right now, okay? Like, you know what Gurley was able to do for most of the regular season, you know, was the best running back in all of fantasy for most of the regular season, but was banged up towards the end. Now, he's going to have even another week of rest, but if you're going to put someone like Todd Gurley in your lineup, you have to be very confident that there will be no kind of lingering effects and that he's going to be 100% for the Rams. Are you that confident, Scott?
Well, I think when he's got 3 weeks of rest and they're being careful with him, they're not going to roll him out there. They want to take extra precaution there. So I think I have to be very confident in it. If they're willing to sit him out 3 weeks for this, I think I'm going to be pretty confident about it.
Okay, so you feel like Todd Gurley is good to go. He is the number two running back in your ranks. Number one running back is Alvin Kamara from the New Orleans Saints. I want to ask you about your number three running back, because it is a name that when we were doing shows, Scotty, in, you know, August and September, and quite frankly, all the way through to Thanksgiving, we were not mentioning this guy at all, and now he is ahead of other Pro Bowlers and first-round picks. I'm talking about Kansas City Chiefs running back Damian Williams. Scotty, this guy has really proven to be dynamic, you know, kind of shifty with the speed as per the rest of this Kansas City kind of offense. You have Damian Williams all the way up as PPR running back number three for playoff fantasy backs. Talk to me about what you see in Damian Williams, and I guess you do not think that Spencer Ware poses any kind of threat as part of a timeshare.
Spencer Ware might pose a threat if he's healthy, but I still think Damian Williams can make the most of every touch. He's 5'11", 224 with speed. He can be physical, and he can also be explosive, and he can be versatile. You know, even if Ware is going to get a few touches a game, I think Damian Williams really makes the most of every touch. And you're talking about a guy who had four rushing touchdowns in his final four games, and he also added two receiving touchdowns in those final four games without Kareem Hunt. Had a 103 rushing yard game against Seattle, in which he also had seven catches. He had six catches for 74 yards against the Chargers. Averaged 4 to 6 point yards per carry in the season finale. So Damian Williams, whether it's going to be his touches are going to get cut into a little bit, I believe he's the number one running back for the Chiefs right now. They have the number one seed. They have a good shot of playing in two games, maybe possibly three. So to me, he's locked in at number three.
Okay, fair enough. You got to feel like the Saints are going to be playing a lot of games as well. Kamara is your number one running back. However, Mark Ingram is all the way down at RB11 for you for the playoffs, and that's about five spots lower than the consensus. Talk to me about why you're a little bit down on Mark Ingram relative to the consensus, especially when you have Kamara as your number one back. Is that you just think the timeshare is tilting heavily in Alvin and the Chipmunks' favor?
I think it's been tilted, you know, throughout the season. And you just can't be sure of Ingram's workload. The first game he came back this year, he surprisingly got a lot of touches in at the expense of Kamara. But it's really Kamara's been the main guy pretty much, especially when it comes to goal line touches the rest of the season. It's really hard to predict what Mark Ingram's workload is going to be in any given week. He two touchdown runs in his final six games, and during that stretch, he didn't have more than 11 carries, and he didn't have more than 13 carries in any game, and only went over 12 once.
Okay, I want to ask you about two specific teams where you have both of their running backs inside the top 14. We say all the time, Scotty, to check your settings. I first go to New England, and I think it's very interesting that in PPR formats, it looks like you have James White as six and Sony Michel as seven, but then when we go to standard format, they're flip-flop. Talk to me about how you see the Patriots running backs, James White, and, you know, my guy, the stereotype, Sony Michel.
And these playoff ranks are available on rotoexperts.com.
Yes.
Tab. Right now, the new Roto Experts NFL 365 with myself and Davis Maddock. I just believe James White, who caught momentum at the end of the regular season there, on ESPN, 13.4 PPR points in Week 16 and 17 in Week 17 against the Jets, 16.9. I really feel they have to go back to what they were doing the first half of the season with Josh Gordon out now and Gronk just not being himself. I think James White's going to become a really big part of this passing game in the postseason for a resurgent Patriots team. Meanwhile, I think Sony Michel is their lead ball carrier and their number one guy at the goal line.
As well, there is also Devlin, who, trust me, has vultured many a touchdown from Sony Michel this year. Trust me,
I think. I believe Michelle's going to be the first choice, though.
I hope so. I mean, I think that's right, you know, unless they're actually at the 1 yard line. Like, Devlin is like a two carries for 2 yards and two touchdowns kind of guy. But you're absolutely
against
correct.
Against Buffalo, Michelle got in the end zone against the Jets. Michelle had a few opportunities and just didn't get in.
Yep. The other team that I think is in a similar situation in terms of having to know if you're in a PPR or a standard format, Scott, is the Chicago Bears. And here it's even more dramatic. When I look at PPR, you have Tariq Cohen as RB10, Jordan Howard as RB14. But when I switch to standard settings, you actually have Jordan Howard one spot ahead of Tariq Cohen. How do you think the Bears are going to try to play now that it's January in Chicago?
They rely a lot on their running backs. Howard played really well the last four games with two 100-yard outings in his final four and four rushing touchdowns in his last three. But Cohen's just a very, very unique weapon, especially in PPR. You're talking about a guy who's like 5'6", 180. This guy is a new Darren Sproles, and he might even be better than Sproles was in his prime because I think he's just more consistent and a little bit more explosive. But Cohen, you got to like him a lot in a PPR. You know, every once in a while you'll get a 3 or 4 point game from him, and you'll get a dud once in a while from Jordan Howard too. But you know, there's not a lot of selections right now, and you know, these are two top guys right here for the playoffs.
Okay, you talk about how Tariq Cohen could be kind of like a new Darren Sproles. You have Darren Sproles, the old Darren Sproles, the original Darren Sproles, Darren Sproles himself as number 16. But the guy I want to ask you about is another person who I could see being called a new Darren Sproles at times. And it's all the way down at your running back number 22, a guy that we were real high on going into the season, Nyheim Hines of the Indianapolis Colts. I thought you'd have him a little bit higher, or at least higher than Darren Sproles himself. It looks like you're a little bit lower than the consensus on Nyheim Hines. You don't think he could be an interesting contrarian play, especially in PPR settings?
I don't think he gets enough touches for that. You know, in terms of rushing, he has got more than that. He got more than six carries just once in a game, and they don't use him a lot as a rusher. I know his value is as a receiver, but you know, in the last dating back to week five, he had one 9-reception game against Jacksonville, but other than that, he hasn't had more four than four catches in a game. Nyheim Hines is just not getting enough touches to make a difference right now, and when you talk about you're starting to get to the end of the running back pool when you're dealing with Nyheim Hines.
Fair enough. Remember when we talked quarterbacks and you were like, hey, we want to find out maybe a quarterback from Wild Card Weekend who could win and maybe make a run? Couldn't the same be said if you want to pick the right running back in that Dallas-Seattle game, Scotty? You know, if you think, because whoever wins that game, if they go to Los Angeles or if they go to New Orleans the following week, they're going to want to continue to run the ball and be dominated by that running back. So if you have a strong feeling on the Cowboys or the Seahawks, couldn't Zeke or Chris Carson also be an interesting play if they get multiple games?
Oh, yeah, of course. I like Zeke a lot in one and done type fantasy playoff formats because, you know, that game could go either way. With Chris Carson, if the Seahawks make a deep playoff run, he's a big part of it. And then when you play daily too, you look on DraftKings this week, Ezekiel Elliott's 9,000, but Chris Carson is 2,200 less. He's 6,800. So when you're playing daily this weekend too, I think you definitely got to lean in the direction of Carson.
Yeah, I like Carson as well because you got to figure, to be quite honest, I think both of them will get around the same amount of carries. You know, they are giving Chris Carson the ball a ton. I think they're both decent bet, Zeke Elliott and Chris Carson, to get around 20 carries in this one. Keep an eye out on that. Cowboys and Seahawks.
Carson carried the ball 32 times when these teams faced each other in week three.
Yep, absolutely. That's going to be a big-time matchup tomorrow night. Scotty, I want to look at the wide receivers real quick. You made the point previously when we were talking about James White as how now with no Josh Gordon, now with – I think we all realize that, you know, Gronk is pretty much a shell of his former self. I actually think whenever the Patriots lose will be the last game of Rob Gronkowski's career, if you want to know the truth. But with that going on with Gronk, with Josh Gordon not there, yes, there's James White, but I look at your number three wide receiver for the Patriots, and that's where I find Julian Edelman. You know, you talk about how Brady trusts James White. The only guy he probably trusts more is Julian Edelman.
Yeah, Julian Edelman had double-figure PPR performances in all but one game this year. He scored in three of his last four and four of his last six. You know, this guy is battle-tested, been through all these playoff wars, soldiered through a foot injury. Very, very safe playoff pick to me because I, you know, my pick to win the AFC is still the Patriots.
Really? You think the Patriots still get it done? Do you think they go into Kansas City and do it? Or do you think that somehow like a Baltimore or a Chargers or someone else upsets Kansas City, meaning the AFC championship game is right back at Gillette where it's been, you know, I don't know, like six times over the last decade?
That's exactly what I foresee potentially happening.
You think someone upsets
I think the Colts can knock off the Chiefs and, then they might lose it to New England.
I got you. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it sounds like you're leaning towards a Pats-Colts AFC championship game right now.
I'm leaning towards a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl.
Ooh, you took it even one step further. I was only going to AFC championship game, Scott. It sounds good. Yeah. So if you like the Colts going very far, that means you like the Colts beating the Houston Texans this weekend, tomorrow. And so I got to ask you about another wide receiver, Scotty. That all being said, how do you play or how do you treat a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? There may be no wide receiver in pure talent better in the NFL. There may be no better set of hands in the NFL. There may be no bigger target monster in the NFL, right? Like, I think D-Hop got a greater share of his targets than any wide receiver on any team, maybe with the exception of Davante Adams. I'll have to double check that. But you know D-Hop is a scoring machine. But what if you only think he's going to play one game? How do you thread the needle on your outlook for a guy like D-Hop?
I think what you have to do there is you have to decide for yourself who you believe is going to advance. And if you're feeling that Houston is going to advance and they got a good shot of playing 2 to 3 games, you know, you push them to the top of your board. But, you know, I'm back in the Colts, so I like DeAndre Hopkins more in like a one-and-done type playoff format, you know, where they usually have on my fantasy league.
Right, but in DFS this week, you're still okay with D-Hop, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cool.
Nobody can cover that guy.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, this guy is an absolute beast. I also want to tip our cap, by the way. Do you know that DeAndre Hopkins is also donating his playoff game check to charity this week?
Yes, he is. Very tragic incident involving the shooting of a young girl, and he's donating his entire $29,000 playoff check to the family. I have a daughter of my own since I don't even know what I could do because I can't bring the little girl back, but you know, he wants to show his support.
Yep, and just another example of how in this league where a lot of our wide receivers are such divas, there is DeAndre Hopkins still toiling and, you know, doing it kind of without making too much noise. You got your Rams wide receivers, number 4 and number 5. I think those are sneaky plays as well. If you are in a format where you can only pick one player from each team, a lot of people are going to be on Gurley. If you want to go with Woods or Cooks, it could be an interesting contrarian play. When we come back, Scotty, we'll look at the tight end ranks, and we will pick the wild card games. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com. Fantasy Sports Today.
I was flipping back through ESPN docs. I've watched basically the first half of Big Shot, which was the John Spano Islanders documentary that was done by Kevin Connelly.
Really?
I know.
You got to bring this up to me, Mike.
It's a joke, but it's interesting.
He bought the Islanders with no money.
He went to Fleet Bank in Boston, and they lent him $80 million. He was worth, according to the FBI, a couple of $100,000.
Great background check by the NHL there, guys.
Weekdays, 8 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
New Year. New you. Yeah, you hear that saying every single New Year's Day, right? But it takes money to get that new you for the new year. You need money for that gym membership. You need money to buy the expensive, healthier groceries. And you need money to go on that awesome vacation with the cute girl or guy in your office. But there is something to help you get that money, and it's free. When you download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, you get to listen to the best fantasy sports analysis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for free. Fantasy analysis, betting odds, and plenty of entertainment to help you get that money you need to start your New Year's journey. Go to the iTunes or Google Play Store, download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, and start listening to the best fantasy sports and betting analysis in the industry. We want you to drop those holiday pounds. We want you to take that awesome vacation, and we want to see you start 2019 right by downloading the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here to give you that cash to start a new year with a new you.
It's back on Roto Experts this morning, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got Dane Martinez back for 2019 with the King, Scott Engel. We were breaking down kind of playoff rankings. We're going to talk tight ends. Then we're going to make our picks for Wild Card Weekend. But Scotty, I got to let you know that the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check it out. They got a lineup optimizer. They got customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings. They have ownership projections. They have PGA finish probabilities and a simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, PGA Pro Tips, subscriber chat, and much, much more. Go to DailyRoto.com, click on the Go Premium tab, choose Golf, and enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on the Go Premium tab, Golf, and enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. I got to tell you, Scotty, when I was out on vacation, I did, in fact, play a couple of rounds of golf, but I use these bright orange balls so that I can see them in the deep woods that I hit the balls into.
Sounded like fun.
It was fun. It was fun. Trust me, it was fun. Beautiful times there on vacation, but we are back in the saddle because Wild Card Weekend is on and popping, and we are looking at the tight end position. Scotty, we've been talking about how you have to balance the production you expect with the number of games you expect them to play, and it sounds like you are a little bit high on the Colts moving in. Is that the primary reason that you have Eric Ebron ranked ahead of Zach Ertz?
Yeah, that's the primary reason. I think the Eagles have a strong shot of being one and done, whereas Eric Ebron is going to be a big target for Andrew Luck. You know, we saw in the red zone just the high preference he has for him for at least two games.
Yep, I agree with that. It makes sense. You know, your number one tight end, though, is Travis Kelce. I love Travis Kelce, especially, as I mentioned, if you are playing in formats with a tight end 1.5 or any kind of multipliers because the Chiefs
I don't care
good.
What the scoring system is. If you look at my overall ranks, I have number two overall behind Kamara because the fact that he could play 2 to 3 games and just, you know, how thin the tight end position is. You know, if somebody wanted to take him number one overall, I'd be fine with it.
Okay, I mean, here's my question then. Here's my question. And like we said at the top of the show, there's a lot of different formats for these kind of playoff pools, right? On some of them, you're familiar with somewhere you can only pick one player from each team, right? So in that situation, is Kelce the chief you pick, or is it Mahomes? You know, is it Mahomes who is, I think, he's your number one quarterback. Damian Williams is your number three running back. And you have Travis Kelce. If you had to pick only one chief, is it Kelce, or is it the potential MVP of the league, Patty Mahomes?
Like I said, the draft format, Kelce, if you want to take him number one overall, that's fine. In the other formats that you're discussing, I think it's got to be Kelce because you know I would rather have Kelce and Russell Wilson than Mahomes and Blake Jarwin.
Yep. Well, I think that may be an extreme example, but yes, and that's I
think that's a realistic example when you talk about how desperately thin in the playoff field it really is at tight end.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And we talk about it all the time, even like in season-long fantasy, Scott. Remember, if people are trading like a wide receiver for a running back, well, like it's not just that. It's also about the other guys who would be in that situation. So you have to consider the gap from Kelce to whoever the other tight end you would put in your lineups are versus, you know, the gap from Mahomes to, you know, the other great standout quarterbacks who you can pick from these playoff teams. We mentioned a few of them a little bit earlier in the show. Scotty, one tight end, you know, we talked a little bit about how Gronk is kind of a shell of his former self. Do you think there's any opportunity with Gronk. I dare I say this almost as a contrarian play because so many people might be off of Gronk at this point in time.
Yeah, it's – I don't know if it's a contrarian play because with how thin the tight end position
is. Right, after
is,
you get to these top four below Gronk, it's
top guys. He's still one of those top guys, and he could break out with a good game at any time. So I don't see it as contrarian.
But for example, though, I think he's going to be lower owned in DFS that not this weekend, the following weekend, right, when they play, because his price tag will still be probably pretty high, but a lot of people are down on him. He may have a lower ownership percentage than normal. Does that make sense?
I think it depends on who advances. If the Colts get knocked out and then you talk about the Eagles get knocked out, you know, what else do you really have? It's just him and Kelsey, and that's it.
Okay, well, there's one other guy who you have as tight end five who is probably likely returning for his team. I'm talking about Hunter Henry for the Los Angeles Chargers. Are you, like, we've talked all season about, like, the term solid and how confident you can be and how those are relative terms. And I understand that. I guess, how confident can you be putting in a guy in a playoff lineup who you literally have not seen play all season long, Scott? You still have him as tight end five.
That's a drop-off from number four to number five. Right. You're talking about, okay, I'm hoping the guy gets in the end zone. And I'm probably going to drop him in my ranks after the report that I read yesterday that he's going to be on a pitch count.
Okay. Any other flyers at tight end that you think could be interesting? You know, when we get into maybe the Rams guys, a Trey Burton who maybe bounced back in the last couple of games.
He's TD or bust, but I think you got to take a serious look at Blake Jarwin. You know, he just didn't have a good game in the season finale. He had a 7-catch game 2 weeks before that as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember talking to you about this a few weeks ago about Blake Jarwin. He had, a stretch in weeks 14, 15, and then 17 where he had good games in three of the last four regular season games for the Dallas Cowboys. So that does make sense. Scotty,
you were the only one who was on him. Not even Corey Parson. I didn't even hear about Blake Jarwin.
I was definitely on him. I remember talking to you about him and that he had, I think it was 7 targets in back-to-back games, weeks 14 and 15, I believe that's what it was. I remember seeing him, and I remember throwing him out as an option going into week 16, I think it was. I remember talking about him as a potential option. Scotty, how do you play playoff fantasy with defenses? Is this something where, like, I guess the question is, do you want your defense playing multiple games? Because as they go on, you know, more and more opportunity that they're going to be facing a team like the Rams or the Chiefs or the Patriots or the Saints, and maybe even have like a negative scoring output. Like, might you even want a team that is one and done? Remember what the Super Bowl was last year? Remember that Rams-Chiefs game? Do you really want your team, your defense playing multiple games?
I think the negative scoring is going to be very rare.
Okay,
it's not something.
Last year's Super Bowl might have been one. Though.
I think that's too extreme to plan for that. You know, you want sacks and you want turnovers, and that's really what you're looking for.
Okay, and so let me ask you this: Are you looking at kind of matchups for this week, or are you planning forward like we were with, say, like Andrew Luck, and he might then go into Kansas City, that sort of thing? Because if I look at let's say the Baltimore Ravens, right? You know, they held the Chargers to, what, 10 points only a couple of weeks ago? You see the Bears, you know, those kind of big-time defenses? Or are you extrapolating out to who they might play next? Or are you just looking at who is the best matchup this week for defenses?
No, I'm not just looking at this week. I'm looking at who is the best unit, I believe, with a combination of potential games played. That's why I really like the Saints. They played very, very well down the stretch. And they have a very good chance to play three games.
Okay, and as we said, their first game, right, could be against a team like, if you know, the way I kind of think it might go would be against maybe either Dallas or Seattle, and those are teams that, you know, play time of possession and like to run the ball as well, so may not be a high flying score in their first game either.
No, that defense is very, very underrated.
All right, sounds good. Why do you have the Dallas Cowboys as the very last defense? Weren't they Weren't they a solid defense throughout most of the season?
I believe they're going to be one and done.
I see. Well, let's make that transition right now, Scotty, and
plus,
see who we both believe
plus,
will be one and
here's
done.
Something else. Here's a stat for you to chew on. They face Russell Wilson this week. Russell Wilson has a career low 7 interceptions. Only team that had less interceptions in Green Bay was Dallas.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So you think that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks will keep the ball safe, relatively speaking, this weekend
They set a record, I think, from it was like the least turnovers ever from like I think it was like week 3 on. I forget what the exact stat is, but the kind of football they play travels. They are plus 15 in takeaway difference, which is number one in the NFL. They just don't turn the ball over a lot. And Dallas doesn't pick the ball off a lot either.
All right, so let's see how that relates to our picks for Wild Card Weekend. Based on what we have said so far in this past hour, Scotty, I think we are going to agree on 3 of the 4 games. So let's test that theory. The first one up, first game on Saturday, the Houston Texans will host the Indianapolis Colts. The Texans are currently a 1-point favorite over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Over-under is 48. It sounds like you are riding with the Indianapolis Colts, huh, Scotty?
Yeah, I am. I just feel like Andrew Luck's having a tremendous season. The offensive line is playing really, really well. And the defense is they're probably the most underrated unit in the AFC. I see them as being a little bit more complete than the Houston Texans.
Yep, I agree with you, Scotty. I like the Indianapolis Colts to go on the road and win outright. I agree with you. I think Andrew Luck is proving himself to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. People have forgotten about him. And you were saying it all season long. This Indianapolis Colts defense actually gets sacks. They get pressure on the quarterback. And, Scott, you know what I believe has been the Achilles heel of this Houston Texans team all season long, that offensive line. I think Deshaun Watson will be under pressure, and I trust Andrew Luck to make one more play than Watson and Hopkins. Give me the Indianapolis Colts on Saturday as well. We agree.
On an Adam Vinatieri field goal to end the game.
Ooh, look at this. Scotty calling his shot, saying walk-off kick by the ageless wonder, Adam Vinatieri. Scotty, it sounds like you like Seattle to go into Dallas. Do you like him to win outright, or do you like him with the plus 3?
What's that?
You like Seattle to win outright, or you just like them plus the 3 points as the underdog?
I like them outright.
Because tell me why.
I believe it. It's plus 2 right now. I keep
on FanDuel,
seeing
it's over
from
at,
1.5 to 2 to 3. And you can read my preview on rotoexperts.com right now. It's I believe what it really comes down to here is that Dallas definitely has a home field advantage, but Seattle has a much better coach quarterback combination, I think, by a significant shot. And, I think that's going to what it's going to come down to. I trust Russell Wilson more in the clutch than I would Dak Prescott. I think Pete Carroll can out-coach Jason Garrett. He's won his last 3 games against him. You talk about sacks. Dak Prescott is the most sacked quarterback in the NFC. He was sacked 56 times. And you're talking about a defensive line that's got 2 double-figure sack guys in Frank Clark and Jared Reed.
Okay. Scotty, this is the one game where we're going to disagree, I think. This is the hardest game of the weekend for me to pick. This is the game that I go back and forth on when picking
the games. It wasn't easy for me either.
I think both of these teams want to try to do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like run the ball and play good defense. What it comes down to me, Scotty, for is something that you definitely acknowledge. To me, I'm just leaning with the home team on this one. I think the home field advantage is what it is. I do think Russell Wilson is a different quarterback in Seattle than outside on the road. And just I think this is a very close kind of coin flip game. I'm just going to lean with the home team. That's really all it comes down to for me. We only got a couple minutes left, and we got 2 more to pick, Scotty. L.A. goes to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. How do you see this one playing out?
I think the Chargers will be more competitive in this one than they were in the last one, but you know, I'm going to go with the home team here and the one that has a better defense. I think it's a tough... It's a tough draw for the Chargers. Phillip Rivers is not a great playoff quarterback. So So I'm going to go Baltimore.
Like,
by the way, real quick to your point about Wilson home versus Rode.
Ah,
home, 17 touchdown
left,
passes,
Scotty.
3 interceptions, 18-4 away. So he's the same quarterback home and away.
Okay. I am going to – well, we're differing on this one, too. You know I've been with the Chargers all season long. I can't abandon them now.
No,
I think this is a very
–
this is a very tough matchup. I said I think the Ravens are a tough matchup for all of the AFC contenders because of the way they play with Lamar and their defense. Here's the way I'll say it. That game was 22-10. It was really 16-10. You know, Antonio Gates had that fumble really towards the end. And I think it's tough, Scotty, to beat a team twice in the span of like 3 or 4 weeks. I think that is really tough to do. I also think you talk about Rivers as a playoff quarterback, but we were saying that Rivers was making those bonehead interceptions in his past, and he didn't do that as much this year. I think that combined with the fact that it's tough, and I just think that when you see a team the second time, you have to try to do something different. I think the Chargers are more capable of varying their game plan than the Ravens are. I think the Ravens can only do one thing. We know what that is, and that's led by the running game and Lamar Jackson. So I think on the second time around, Baltimore may be easier to prepare and defend than last time. And remember, they also will have Hunter Henry back. They'll have the full complement of their running back position as well. Last game, Scotty, we only got a minute left. Eagles go to Chicago to take on the Bears. I'm going to tell you right now, Scotty, I think the defending Super Bowl champions' defense is over. I don't believe in Nick Foles moving forward anymore. I just think this defense will be too much to handle. I don't like Trubisky and Nagy, the first-year combo, going too far, but I think they win a home game led by their defense against Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with you for the same factors. It's pretty much the defense for me.
All right, so we agree on two of the four, Scotty. We both like the Colts. We both like the Bears. Then tomorrow night, I'm going Dallas. You're going Seattle. And what we both acknowledge is going to be kind of a tight game. You know, you said it was tough for you to pick as well. And then that Chargers-Ravens game, I can see that going a lot of different ways. Listen, I have one of my playoff lineups, Scotty. I do have Lamar Jackson as one of my quarterbacks, kind of hedging my bet, right? So if the Chargers win, I get to be like, yeah, I've been on the Chargers all season long. But if the Ravens win, I am very intrigued by that rushing floor that Lamar Jackson presents if they play multiple games. And they're the kind of team that could also go into New England, go to Kansas City, and give either one of those teams trouble.
Yeah, I could see that as well. It's very wide open here. The thing with these playoffs, we're looking at the teams on paper. It's like I say during fantasy football season, you can't predict the spontaneous execution. So anything could happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, all eight teams that we are going to see this
weekend. We could be seeing a Baltimore-Philadelphia Super Bowl for all we know.
You never know. So that's why we like those contrarian plays. It's like March Madness, Scotty. You got to pick the right 15 or the right 14 seed to be that Cinderella.
Yes,
it is,
sir.
So great to be back with you here on 2019, Scotty. We'll talk about it all on Monday. We are family here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a great weekend, Scotty.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the only free 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network.